There. Good morning. Before we begin, let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, that we can be here gathered, Lord, in your name, Lord, this beautiful Saturday morning, God. So, Lord, I just want to commit today, Lord, this morning into your hands, God. I just commit the message, Lord, the prayer into your hands. I just humble myself, God, and I pray that you, Lord, use me, Lord, to speak, Lord, a message, Lord, that you want, Lord, your beloved children, Lord, to hear today. So, Lord, I humble myself, God, and acknowledge, Lord, when I am weak, Lord, you are strong, Lord. So come, Lord, I pray. Anoint my lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The message that I'd like to speak this morning is on Jehovah Ira, the Lord will provide. And the passage, the text I'm reading today is from Genesis chapter 22, verse 2 to 14. And we also read from verse 20 to 23. So Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verse 2 to 14 first. Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder to worship and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. I'll repeat that again. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then he came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, and now this is what I think some scholars call a Christophany, that is a mention or sighting of Christ before the New Testament. But anyway, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, and since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." Just jumping down to verse 20. Now it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, "Indeed, Micah has borne children to your brother Nahor." And reading verse 23, Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. So as I said this morning, I'd like to speak about a beautiful name of God, Jehovah Ira, or Yahweh Ira, the Lord will provide. Now most people, if they have been in the church a long time, will probably know this phrase. We say Jehovah Ira, the Lord will provide. But maybe some of you don't know where the origin of this name actually comes about. As I've said before, it is always during some eventful time usually when something significant happens where God himself actually reveals his name. I spoke before on the bitter waters of Marah, where God revealed himself as the Lord that heals. I spoke on Emmanuel before, where Isaiah asked the wicked king to ask for a sign, but he didn't want to, and God nonetheless though revealed himself as Emmanuel, God with us. And there are stories which I haven't spoken about, where God reveals himself as the Lord of hosts, the Ancient of Days, the Lord our banner as El Shaddai, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord our peace, the Lord who is our shepherd, the Lord who's there. And there's so many more names in the Bible. And I believe that every Christian who wants to grow closer to God should do a study on the names of God. See, God knows your name, but do you know his? And as you study the various stories on the various revelations of the name of God, you get to see a different aspect of God's beautiful character. And there are many books out there, and I do recommend some books by David Wilkerson, Kay Arthur, Nathan Stone. So as I said today, though, I would like to speak on the name, the Lord who provides, Jehovah Jireh. Now, I think that we understand and we know that the Lord will provide, but maybe we only think about it in terms of the material aspects, where we know that God will provide for us what we need. But I think that the genesis and origins of this name is so much deeper and more powerful than just the material things. And as I was actually doing some reading, I realized that the root word of Jehovah Jireh, the word Jireh comes from the word to see. So we can even translate it as the Lord, we can even translate the Lord who provides as the Lord who sees, or the Lord will see to it. Today I would just like to touch on two simple points actually, one on a spiritual aspect and one on the material aspect as we unpack the story. So point one is spiritual aspect, God provided Jesus from the beginning. And point two would be the material aspect, God knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. So point one, God provided Jesus from the beginning. So here we have this very famous story that most Sunday school kids will know, where Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac, his son of promise. And he goes on to this long journey to Mount Moriah. And when he reaches the area of Mount Moriah and sees it on the horizon, Isaac asks, "Dad, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Then Abraham prophetically says, "God himself will provide the burnt offering for the sacrifice." But they continue on. And just as Abraham raises his knife to sacrifice Isaac, the angel of God, who is Christ, stops him and says, "Stop, now God knows that you fear him and will obey him. But look, there is the lamb caught in the thicket to be sacrificed." And then God reveals his name as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, it doesn't take too much of an imagination or interpretation to see the beautiful harmony of the story in the Old Testament and how it actually relates to the central message of the New Testament. So what was God providing? First and foremost, God was providing for his son to go to the cross many thousand years later to be the sacrifice of sins to mankind so that we can be reconciled back to God the Father. But you see, God did not come up with this ad hoc plan as a last minute thing, as a contingency plan. No, he had actually provided for this all along. In the book of Revelation, it actually says that Christ is the lamb that was slain at the foundation of this world. And in Genesis, God told the serpent that he was going to raise up a seed of Adam that was going to crush the serpent's head. And here on Mount Moriah, at the final moments of Abraham's life, as our first father of faith, he gives us a little more details as to how he was actually going to do it. And there's so many beautiful parallels here. Like Abraham, God the Father was willing to offer up his son as a sacrifice for all, without hesitation at all. And you look at Isaac, he himself was carrying the wood for the sacrifice, just as Christ had to carry his cross all the way to Calvary. And like Isaac, who was led obediently and didn't resist what Abraham was about to do on the sacrificial table or altar, Jesus was led obediently as a lamb led to the slaughter on the cross. You think about it, Isaac was definitely much stronger than Abraham at this time. Abraham was very old at this stage, and he could have just run away or resisted being put on the altar, but he didn't. And Jesus at Gethsemane, he said he could call down the legions of angels from heaven to save him from the journey to the cross, but he didn't. And like Isaac, who only went alone with Abraham for the last part of the journey, Jesus was only alone with the Father on the last moments of his journey to the cross, as all his disciples had left him. But unlike Isaac, where Christ himself stayed Abraham's hand and asked him to sacrifice the ram instead, there was no reprieve for Christ himself, where God the Father put all the sins of the world on Christ, poured out his wrath and judgment on Christ, until our beloved Savior cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me?" But we see here through this beautiful story, God gave Abraham, the father of faith, our father of faith, a glimpse and foreshadowing of the way he will actually provide for the redemption for mankind. See, at some point in time, maybe during the fall of Satan and his angels, or during the fall of man, I don't know which, heaven was never really the same again. And there's actually a very interesting passage in Hebrews. And perhaps you may have actually a very different interpretation from me. We just turn for a moment to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21 to 24. And I'm just going to read this quickly. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, which is Christ, entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And as we drop down to verse 21, now it talks about Moses. Then likewise, Moses sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 22, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copy of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Now, if you study this passage that I just read, it seems to suggest, actually, that Christ entered heaven with his own blood, with his own sacrifice, to actually purify something. And some people say there's actually a real mercy seat in heaven, and his blood is actually sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. Quite interesting if you study it in a bit more detail. But whatever the case may be, there was a time in eternity past where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit decide to provide for Jesus to come down to earth as man and to pay the penalty for our sins. And where God the Father says, I will provide for the redemption of mankind by sacrificing my one and only Son Jesus and for his blood to take away the sins of the world. And I'm just reminded of the beautiful love of Christ and how we must have felt actually when Christ told Abraham to stop the sacrifice, yet knowing that he himself will be the one walking the same journey without reprieve many thousand years later. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. As we wrap up the spiritual aspects of the story, there is actually a beautiful passage in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, which says, he who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Which leads us beautifully to the next point on the material aspects of provision. Point two, God knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. As I mentioned before, the name Jehovah Jireh can be translated as the Lord will provide or as the Lord will see to it. And what a beautiful verse we just read there from Romans. It says, if God did not spare his only son, will he also not freely give us all things? And we also know from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That God knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it, is something that I'm beginning to learn and realize just these past months. And God has taken me on a journey over the last past 5-6 years in Hong Kong. And as Juanita had actually prophesied over my family recently, God was actually taking us on a journey, on a detour, actually, to see other things. See, since I moved up to Hong Kong in early 2012, and probably like most finance expats, I came here with the intention of making a lot of money and being successful. But some of you may know that shortly after I came up here, my desk and my bank shut down and I lost my job. And so I actually can empathize with those whose names are on the job list here at the EMP. So I was out of work for like 9 months. And looking back, those 9 months were some of the happiest and saddest times of my life. Happiest times was because I got to spend a lot of time with God, grow in Him, and actually seeing His provision and not lacking. And during that time, my eldest daughter, Zoe, was born. And funny enough, thankfully, God also provided for her medical fees at that time by getting a tax refund from an unexpected tax refund from the Hong Kong government. But during the saddest times, there was also a lot of fears, anguish, tears, and worries too, and even wondering like, hey, will you ever get a job again? But through that time, at the darkest moment, God came through. And God gave me this word from Psalms 81 verse 7, which says, I will answer you in the secret place of thunder, and I tested you at the waters of Meribah. And so I actually vividly remember the scene as I was crying out to God in the shower, probably moping and being frustrated and just crying out. I heard the sound, actually, of my laptop with the email notification outside, when ding or something like that. And so when I checked it, it was actually an email from a recruiter basically introducing to my next job opportunity. So God came through and answered me just like that, like the sound of thunder, as I was just crying out to Him. But He was also testing my faith during that season. And so during this season of joblessness, as I mentioned, I saw that the provision of God financially for me. But ironically, last year, God brought me through a season of having financial tightness despite having a job and actually understanding some lack. And due to certain reasons, even though I had a job, it was not enough to cover the bills. And during that tough time, it was, I mean, difficult, but then yet at the end of it, God delivered me out of it again. And in July 2015, some of you may also know that my wife had a miscarriage. And it was just the Sunday after where I remember standing in front of church during a Sunday service. And then I just felt God say to me, in 1 year's time, you will be carrying a baby. And lo, exactly 1 year later, in July, my second daughter, Ava, was born. And I thank God it wasn't a traumatic miscarriage, and we were only sad for quite a short period of time. But I thank God for His beautiful word and His promise and His provision, and that He came through quickly. But the point is, and which is what I said, that I'm coming to learn and realize, and I think that what this is what God wants to teach me, is that He knows everything and precisely what I need in every single season. And as we know the song that Sunday school kids sing, He will never ever let the righteous fall. As we know from the Psalms, He will never ever let the righteous go hungry or beg for bread. And we also know from Matthew that it says nothing ever happens without the Father even knowing about it. So see, in my joblessness season, He was teaching me to rely on Him, not on my own strength, and there was ultimately Him that was, who was my provider. See, I was getting proud. I had potentially this great job at an investment bank, and the world was my oyster. But that was quickly and swiftly burst, and I was humble. And in this last season of financial stress, He was teaching me to be content in abasement, and that I can still rejoice in Him, my salvation. See, that is key. He has already said that He's provided His Son, first and foremost, the ultimate sacrifice for the redemption of mankind. And I do hope that I won't have to go through those seasons again, because they are painful times. But God knows best and knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. So as I bring this message to a close, let us recall the passage that we read at the beginning from Genesis. Think of the beautiful sequence of events here at Mount Moriah. As Abraham was preparing to sacrifice Isaac, God was actually providing for Isaac a bride many, many hundreds of miles away. Isaac did not know that Rebekah was growing up and was being raised by Abraham's nephew Bethuel. And Rebekah did not know actually what was happening on Mount Moriah. As we read at the beginning, that's why I asked you guys to drop down to verse 20. A few verses later, Abraham was suddenly informed and told of his long-distance relative that he had, and one of them was Rebekah. And if we continue the story from Genesis two chapters later, then we know and we have the story of Isaac looking for his wife, Rebekah. So now, don't believe all of this was recorded as an accident, and the timing was definitely not an accident. See, I think the point is, God wanted to tell Abraham, look, throughout all this time, I was already preparing Rebekah for Isaac. He was not going to die. He was actually going to get married. Abraham, I've got it covered. I know your son needs a wife. And did you know that I already prepared that all already, as you were preparing to sacrifice your son, Isaac, in the test? See, Abraham would not have known it at the time, but I believe that as his life began to draw to a close, he was prepared to return to his Maker. I'm sure he would be thinking, reflecting on his life and saying, wow, what a life of faith. And what a God that has provided for all my needs. From me leaving my family in Haran, to going down to Canaan, to Egypt, to bearing a son Isaac, to finding a wife for my son. God was there providing all along. Wow. But that is the nature of our God. In seemingly difficult situations you are facing, when you're not seeing anything, God is already at work providing for your needs. And even before you were born, God says, I knew you and I have prepared bunch of work that you should walk in this life. See, my friends, I know that some of you under the sound of my voice are undergoing some tough times perhaps these days, but I want to encourage you in the fact that is God is at work doing something, but you may not see it. Just like Abraham was not seeing that his long-distance relatives were raising up this beautiful girl, Rebecca. God is at work, but you may not see it. But as long as you remain faithful and cling on to God, He will supply and provide for your needs. That is His promise, and that is His nature. Maybe you're praying for some illness, for finances, for a spouse, for a job situation, salvation for a loved one, or maybe praying against some temptation, which God says He will provide a way out of it. I know it's tough, and frankly, sometimes you may not see or even know the light at the end of the tunnel, but take heart, my friend. Isaiah says that God will give you the treasures of darkness. So ask Him to give you these treasures that can only be gotten in these tough times. And I really do pray today that you will experience as God, you experience God as your provider during this season. So as Sandeep plays the closing song, this is quite an old song, but it's God will make a way where there seems to be no way. And you see, our name, our God's name is Jehovah Ira, the Lord will provide. The Lord will see to it. So let us worship God and meditate on our beautiful Lord.
Heaven and earth will fade.
Let us turn our attention now to the Saturday EMP prayer list. Let us pray for members of our community who are undergoing cancer, for those who are recovering from cancer. Just pray for God's complete healing to just touch every single one who is listed there. Let us pray. Let's pray for members of our community who know people who are sick, but more importantly, they need salvation. Just pray for God's mercy to just come upon them. Let us pray. Pray for members of our community who have various infirmities. Just pray for God's complete healing. Let's pray for members of our community who are looking for jobs, and importantly, that they also know God as the provider in this season. Let us pray. Let's pray now for Saturday, our mission focus on North Korea for open doors for ministry and various missional opportunities and partnerships in Asia. Let's also remember the persecuted church, especially in the Middle East and all parts of this world. Let us pray. Let's pray for the various SP weekend gatherings. Just pray that Holy Spirit would just lead all these gatherings, and most importantly, that Christ be glorified through each every single gathering. Let us pray. Let's pray for SB 2.0. Pray for the new building and resources for this new building, and for the benefactor to just be generous in the right timing of God. And also pray for the congregation, for the hearts of the congregation to be ready and to be willing to take this next step in God. Let us pray. Lastly, let's just pray for the mission trips that are happening. Let's pray for Kyoto and the Shanghai mission trips. We just pray for Team Harmony. We just pray for Holy Spirit to lead. And again, let's just pray for Jesus to be glorified in these mission trips, and the light of the gospel can just be reached in these two places. Just let us pray. So, Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this morning, and thank you, Lord, that we're able to come into your presence. I just pray, Lord, that all of us, Lord, will know and experience you, Lord, as Jehovah Yireh, Lord, that the Lord will provide. So, Lord, we just want to commit the rest of our time here, Lord God. We just pray that you speak to us, Lord God. And you just come, Lord, and dwell with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.